chapter number 1. While you're finding your place there in James chapter number 1, let me remind the men of our men's meeting this Saturday. Begin at 4 o'clock right here at the church. Please be here promptly at 4. Be good if you could begin arriving around a quarter till and be here at 4. We'll have our speaker the first thing, which will be Dr. Mike Edwards. And so please be here on time. Get here at 4. And we'll have good message from Brother Edwards. And then we have some good things lined up, good food. And we're going to have some good fellowship. So you pray much for the meeting. Now, we've done about everything we can do. We've got food being prepared. We've got a speaker lined up. There's activities planned. We've put out the invitation. But I want to encourage you now to understand that's not where it ends. We need to pray. We need to pray. There will be some lost people here. There will be some people here that need to get closer to God. All of us need something. And so I want you to pray that God would do a work. It's not enough just to meet and have a good time. Certainly we enjoy that. We enjoy having a good time. And I believe God wants us to have a good time. The Bible says that God hath given us all things richly to enjoy. But above all, I believe God wants us to understand Him and to deepen our relationship and our walk with Him. So you pray much, if you would, for our men's meeting this Saturday. This Saturday. We'll begin at 4. And so you plan on being here and bring someone with you. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. We're going to read the first 12 verses together. Give you an opportunity to stand, and we'll read these first 12 verses together. All right, tonight I want to zero in on verse number 5, and we'll talk a little bit about 6, 7, and 8, but we'll mainly talk about verse number 5. James chapter 1, we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Excuse me. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, in my heart, I know that what I have read tonight is the very word of God. And I pray that as we look to your word, that we would glean truths from your word that would help us in our walk with thee. Holy Spirit of God, I pray for your fullness in my life. And I pray, God, that you would fill every listener with the Spirit of God, that the word may have free course among us tonight. And may it effectually work in our hearts and lives and accomplish that set out to do. We pray that the name of Jesus would be exalted. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help your people. We pray for your presence in the service this evening in a strong way. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. If you'll recall, last week we were looking in verse 3 and 4, 2, 3, and 4, and we we kind of broke down some words. We were talking about three things, and I won't go into the detail of those things, but we were talking about trouble. Now, all Christians have trouble. All Christians have trouble. And we talked about, first of all, the presence of trouble. He said in verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy, not if you fall into diverse temptations. He says, when? You're going to have problems. All right? So there's the presence of troubles. And then the process. Watch what he said in verse number 3, knowing this. See, there's some things that we know. And the longer you walk with God, the more God teaches us and the more we know about how God works in our lives. God works through trouble in our lives. God uses trouble in our lives to build our lives. And this is what he said. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It worketh patience. In other words, there's something that God does through trouble that gets down deep in you. And it gets down deep in me. And it helps us. Now, there's many things that God uses trouble to do in our lives. One of the things that he helps to do is mature us. And we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. But one of the things that God does with trouble in our lives is he teaches us that he's the comforter. And as God teaches us that he comforts us in our trouble and our tribulation, it helps us that when others are in trouble and tribulation, that we can minister to them because we have been in trouble and tribulation and we know that God is faithful and we can be a witness to them during that time of their life. There's many things that God does. He can grow us. He can increase our faith. But now here's what James is talking about. Look at it here in verse number 4. He said, but let patience have her perfect work. In other words, allow. Allow God to do that work. Now, I have seen many people, and you have too, when trouble comes, they quit. They grow bitter in their heart. They grow sour. And they're ready to turn their back and to turn away and to walk away from God. Do not allow trouble to make you bitter. Allow trouble to make you better. See, God wants to make you a better Christian. And God wants to make me a better Christian. See, each one of us are still being worked on. We're being conformed to the image of God's Son, right? Isn't that what God saved us for? God saved us to conform us into the image of his Son. Now, Jesus suffered much in his life. He suffered much. And so if we're going to walk as he walked, and we're going to be as he was in this world, we too are going to suffer some persecution and tribulation. In this world, Jesus said in John 16, ye shall suffer tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so here's what he said. He said, but let patience have her perfect work. In other words, allow what God is doing in your life to cause you to not get ahead of God, to not lag behind, but to walk with God and let God teach you that he'll walk with you through the hard times. If there's one thing I've learned in my Christian experience, and there's many, but if there's one, it's that God will never leave me nor forsake me. Never has, brethren. God has never left me. God has never forsaken me. He has walked with me each step of the way, and he has you too, each step of the way. So here's what he said. Let, that means allow, let patience have her perfect work that ye may be. Now, here's what he said. If we will allow God to work in our lives, if we will allow the trouble that comes our way to bring us to where God wants us to be, it's going to make us something. Notice that phrase there in verse number 4, that ye may be. See, God wants to make you something, that you may be something. What? Perfect. You say, well, I'll never be perfect. Well, you will when you get to heaven. Now, you'll never be perfect on this earth. But that word perfect means complete. Mature. See, God wants to mature you. God wants to grow you. Now, we often say, well, God help them to grow in the grace and in the knowledge. Can I tell you, trouble will help you grow in grace and knowledge. It will. It will. You'll get a better, listen, get a better understanding of God's grace and a better knowledge of who God is in trouble, in adversity, than you will when things are going good. And so here's what he said. He said, but let patience have her perfect work that ye may be perfect and what? Entire. Now watch this next phrase. Very important. Wanting nothing. Now what is James trying to teach us here? Well, when you look at the next verse, that word wanting is akin to a word in verse number 5, lack. All right? When you're wanting something, you're lacking something. All right? And so he's getting ready to take this phrase that he mentions here in verse number 4 and is going to give us an illustration. So here's what he said. All right? Look at it carefully. Verse number 4. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. Now that means complete, mature, established, grounded, and entire. All right? That means well-rounded, equipped, equipped. See, this life that we live is in many respects, it's a battle. And there's an enemy. And we're no match for the enemy. But God has some resources for us. And if we will allow God, He will equip us with these resources so we can fight the good fight. And if we will allow what God is doing in our lives, then what it will do is strengthen us and equip us so that we will not be defeated, so that we can march forward, so that we can claim victory. What victory, preacher? The victory that Jesus has won. We can claim it for ourselves because He has equipped us. And so He said, when you experience trouble, don't let it weaken you. Don't let it turn you away. Don't let it cause you to quit. No, allow it to strengthen you. Allow it to cause you to be stalwart. Stand your ground. Amen. Be equipped. Fight the good fight. And here's what he said. Wanting nothing. Lacking nothing. Now, does that mean materially speaking? Well, I don't think James has material in mind at all here. We're not talking about material things. We're talking about a spiritual work that God wants to do in our lives. We're so materially minded sometimes that we forget that's not the most important part and aspect and facet of our lives. The most important part of our being and existence is spiritual. Why? Because it's the only part of our lives that is eternal. And so here he's saying, I want to talk to you about your spirit man, how you can be equipped and successful and victorious spiritually. Spiritually, to where you would want nothing. You'd be complete. Be strong in the power of His might. Be able to use God's resources to accomplish God's will in your life. Then he says this in verse number 5. If any of you lack. All right? Now he just said, God has some resources. God's doing some things in your life. And he wants to give you these resources. And he wants to equip you. But now, it's not just enough to have these resources. You've got to know how to use them. And in order to use what God has for us, it's going to take something that only God can give us. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. That's wisdom. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? Now, think about that for a moment. Some people think wisdom and knowledge are the same. Wisdom and knowledge are not the same. Okay, wisdom is not common sense. Now listen, it's not common sense. Wisdom is not intelligence. Wisdom has nothing to do with your or my IQ. Right? You can have a great IQ and lack wisdom and accomplish very little in life. You've met these people, right? Yeah. See, you can have the knowledge to travel faster than light, but it takes wisdom to know what direction to go. See, you can have the knowledge to make a living, but it takes wisdom to make a life. See, there's a big difference. You need wisdom. You read through the book of Proverbs. Listen, I read a couple of weeks ago a very interesting statement, and I'm going to have to say that I'll put a check by it. I agree with it. You want to know about power? Read the book of Acts. It would do us good to just every now and then just to read through the book of Acts. I hear that's the book that Brother David is going through in the Cornerstone, the sanctuary class. And I think it's good. I think just every now and then it's just good as a Christian to read through the book of Acts. It is a reminder to us that God's power is in the church. That God works through the church. That God's Holy Spirit birth the church, and it's at work in the church, and we just need to know about the power of God. You want to know about power? Read the book of Acts. You want to know about sweetness and compassion? Read through the book of Psalms. You want to know about wisdom? Read the book of Proverbs. And here is what James said. All right? He said, if any of you lack wisdom. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? You say, well, it's knowledge. No, it's not. It's not. Well, it's understanding. No, it's not. It's education, preacher. Nope. It's not education. It's the IQ. It's common sense. It's none of those things. What is wisdom? Well, I want you to notice something here. James said there's a shortage of it. Look at what he said. And that's the first thing I want you to write down. The shortage of wisdom. Look at what he said. If any of you lack wisdom, there's a shortage of it. All right? Now, not too far up the road here, there is a major shortage of it. All right? I'm not, listen, I am serious. Wisdom. You need wisdom and I need wisdom. There's a shortage of wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge to be useful. See, knowledge in itself, you know what the Bible says about it? It puffeth up. Knowledge in itself is not enough. Wisdom is that ability, that God-given ability. Wisdom is heaven's judgment on situations on this earth. It's God's way of giving us an ability to use the knowledge and use the education and the intellect that we have and the resources we have to do it God's way. It's almost like viewing things from God's view. All right? Wisdom. If any of you lack that, see, when I go to make a decision, I need to make a decision based on how God views it. When you go to make a decision, you need to make that decision on how God views it. What saith the Scriptures? Right? Right? The only way we can do that is know how God views it. Wisdom. Wisdom. See, the problem with so many today is that we want to do it our way. Can I tell you that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, and the end thereof are the ways of death? We can make ourselves believe about anything we want to make ourselves believe. There are people tonight in church, some of them good Bible-believing churches, and they have made themselves believe that their way is right. Not God's way, their way is right. Now see, the backslider in heart is filled with all of his ways. Proverbs 14:14. And so I want you to know something. Wisdom is God's way. It's God's way. So if any of you, here's what he said, lack wisdom. Now you're having trouble. We'll go back to verse number 2. My brethren, he's talking to Christians now. My brethren, count it all joy. You say, preacher, the last thing I do is jump up and click my heels and rejoice when I have trouble. Well, now there's a way you can do it if you'll listen to me. And there's a way I can do it. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, we went and we talked about every one of these words, and I'm not going to go through this. But I want you to notice what he said here now. There's a way that you can face trouble, and you can understand that God has some good in that situation for you, that God is at work in your life, and that God is growing you, and he's preparing you for the troubles to come. But in order to get to this place, you're going to have some wisdom. And here's what he said. There is a shortage of it. All right? What do we need wisdom for in life? Well, you know, I think a young man and a young lady need wisdom on who they should marry. You better find out from God who that is. I believe you ought to find out and get some wisdom from God on where to work. So I'll just go to work where the money's at, preacher. That's not God's way. Better find out what God wants you to do with your life. What does God want you to do with your life? See, get some wisdom from God, right? You better exercise some wisdom on who your friends are. Because you are either going to be like or become like those in who you spend your time with. You listening now? Wisdom. Wisdom. You want to get away from God? Become close to those who are not around God, who want nothing to do with God. You'll find yourself cold, indifferent, and away from God. I'll change them, preacher. Well, I could take the strongest man in here. All right? And I could take the strongest man in here And I could stand him right up on there. I couldn't stand him up there if he's the strongest man in here, but we could get him up there. I guarantee you that. We could stand that man right up here. You listening to me? I don't know who the strongest man in here. John Shiflett's pretty strong. I could stand John Shiflett right here, and I could latch onto his arm. And John's probably 3 times stronger than I am. But I'm going to tell you something. John's not going to pull me up. I'm going to pull him down. So don't you think now that you're going to pull him up. I'm strong, preacher. You're not that strong. So don't think that now. You be cautious about who you spend your time with. You hear me? Exercise some wisdom. Pray. I'm not saying you shouldn't be around sinners. Y'all try to get them saved. Just don't get comfortable around them. You ought to exercise some wisdom about these things. They're very important. You ought to exercise some wisdom about your children. That's right. Rearing children takes wisdom from God. Every parent in here ought to be saying, amen, amen. So here's what he said. If any lack wisdom, there's a shortage of it. All right? There's a shortage of wisdom in the world in which we live. There's a shortage of wisdom in my own life. And I think if each one of us were to be honest, there's a shortage of wisdom in our lives, all of us. But now here's some good news, all right? Not only is there a shortage of wisdom, but I want you to notice with me this, the source of wisdom. Look what he said. If any of you lack wisdom, let him, now look at this next phrase, let him go to church. Is that what it says? Now listen, you know that you'll never meet anybody that believes you ought to be in church like this preacher. I believe you ought to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, prayer meeting, Bible study, vacation Bible school. Amen? Amen? Some of you ladies ought to try to slip into the men's meeting. Just, I want to be at church, preacher. Amen? If there's something going on at the church, I want to be at the church. Amen? That's the way I was. Listen, I was indoctrinated that way. I was invited. I was just, when I first got saved, that's what I was taught. If it's going on at the church, you want to serve Jesus with your life, you want to grow, get down to the church. That's where it's happening. Amen? And obviously a lot of you got that too. So I got that. All right? I pass that on to my children. And they're passing on to their children. And the other night, we were standing up here the other day, and I keep going back to this because it blesses my heart. Dr. Thompson, David. Wasn't that a blessing? That's a blessing. See, that's what we need. We need to just keep, listen, we just need to keep passing the baton, setting the example, mentoring. You see, it's very important. If any of you lack wisdom, let him go to church. That's not what he said. Going to church is great. If any of you lack wisdom, let him read a book on wisdom. That's not what he said. If any of you lack wisdom, let him get counsel from the preacher. That's not what he said. Now, all of these things are good things, and in their place, they're good and they're needful. But that's not what James said. The source of wisdom. Can I tell you something? Now, you listen very carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. God has a monopoly on wisdom. Now, listen to me. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's how you're going to get it. You say, now wait a minute, preacher, what's that mean? It means what it says. Years ago, I read a book by John R. Rice called Prayer, Asking, and Receiving. I don't know that I've gotten any more from any book I've ever read about the simplicity of praying. If you're not careful, we try to make the simplicity of Christ complicated. And it's really, there's just some things. Listen, prayer is just asking and receiving. It's just going to God and talking to God. If any of you lack wisdom, there's a shortage of it. But there's someone who has a vast supply of it. He has a monopoly on it, and it's God. You ask of God, God, I need your wisdom. You know, as I read the tense of the way this is written, it's written this way. Give us this day our daily bread. That means that when I need wisdom for every situation, God's got wisdom for that situation. When I need wisdom today, God's got wisdom for me today. When I needed wisdom yesterday in those situations that I faced, God had wisdom for me yesterday. When I need wisdom tomorrow, if I will ask God now, God has wisdom for me in those situations. If any of you lack wisdom, you lack wisdom? The Bible says, let him ask of God. Have you asked God? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive what? Wisdom. That's what we're talking about tonight. So we think, well, you know, now wait a minute, preacher. I thought I got wisdom as a byproduct of salvation. The Bible nowhere teaches that. Okay? So here the Bible's saying that if I need wisdom for a situation, maybe it's for a friend. Maybe it's for a situation with my children. Maybe it's for a situation at my job. Maybe it's for a situation at a church. Maybe it's for a situation in a pastoral situation that I have, or whatever situation you may be in. The Bible teaches if I will ask God, he will give me that wisdom. Is that what the Bible's saying here, brethren? If any of you. Now let's look at a few things before I bring this to a close tonight. Don't you miss this, okay? If any of you, the source of wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? God. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Sometimes I come to you and get wisdom. Well, you get wisdom from me because I got it from God. Inherently, I have no wisdom. That's right. The wisdom I give you is the wisdom of the Word. It comes from God. The wisdom that any person gives you that is wisdom, true wisdom, always comes from God, because God has a monopoly on wisdom. Now you understand this, okay? Man in himself has no wisdom. The only wisdom man possesses is the wisdom he gets from God. Now let's see what God wants to do. I want you to learn something about God tonight from this verse of Scripture. Look at it carefully. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Look at this next phrase, that giveth. Now, this is the picture that God wants me to get. That God is not, he doesn't have wisdom, and I wish I had, okay, this is wisdom. And God doesn't have wisdom like this, you know, pride out of my hands, you know. You need this to be successful in life. You need this to be a successful Christian. Pry this wisdom out of my hand if you can. That's not the way God deals with his people. God said, you ask me, my hand is open. Listen, when you look at that phrase there, that giveth, it means open-handedly. That's what it means. God's, listen, our view of God is wrong. See, we view God this way. We have God viewed this way, that God has got a, like a clenched fist, right? And we just have to pry things out. Oh, God. And we just have to pry it out. No, that's not. God's a giving God. Right. See, by nature, God gives. You go through the Bible. I challenge you. Go through the Bible and look at all the things that it says that God gives. God gives. Here it says he gives wisdom. God gave his son. Listen, if God gave his son, that's the greater. It just works down from there. Amen. The greatest thing God has ever done was give his son for our sin. And it's all down from there. You see, that's the greater. He works from the greater to the lesser. Read Romans 8:32. And so here, God says his wisdom. And I have an open hand to you. I want to give it to you. But now you got to ask for it. All right? That's what that means. Listen, the sun by nature shines. The fish by nature swims. God by his nature gives. It's God's nature to give. God's always giving. The greatest thing that we need to know about God is that he gives. We will never be more like God than when we're giving. You understand that, all right? So here's what he said. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth. Now that word giveth, it didn't say gives, it said giveth, which means he giveth and he giveth and he giveth again. Amen? He just keeps on giving. Whatever your need is for wisdom, God has it and he will give it to you. But now you have to ask for it. All right? So whatever your need is, God's got the answer. God has the wisdom. God has the ability that he's going to impart in you to apply what you need for that situation. But now you've got to ask for it. All right? So if you haven't been doing that, and we all fail at times to do that, we're kind of hard-headed. And you can say amen now. We're all kind of hard-headed. And we're all kind of self-centered, and we think, well, now I've got this, God. I'll handle the big thing, but now when I get in a bind, I might call on you. No, listen. God didn't say, give me this day my daily steak. He said, my daily bread. That's simplicity. God wants us to ask him for the simple things of life as well as the complicated things. Right? Yes, absolutely. If any of you lack wisdom, number one, God wants you to know that he's a giving God. He's a giving God. He has his hand out. Number two, look at what it says. That giveth to all men, rich or poor. See, God just doesn't give wisdom to the rich. He gives it to the poor. Educated and uneducated. God said, I'll give it to all of you. Right? You don't have to have a degree to ask God for wisdom. Now listen to me now. Black or white? Red or yellow? See, God is no respecter of persons. God will give you wisdom if you will ask for it. But you got to ask for it. You say, preacher, I don't even need wisdom. Oh, you're foolish. You will never succeed in life. Never. Especially by God's standard. Never. I can read five books and four backwards in a minute. Well, good for you, but now you need wisdom. Need wisdom. Here's what he said. Number one, he's a God who gives. Number two, he's all-inclusive. He giveth to all men. Look at this one. He's generous. He'll give to you liberally. Liberally. God's not just going to give it to you in small measure. God will give you what you need and then some. More than enough. Each time. He giveth to all men liberally. I like this next phrase. Look in verse number 5. And upbraideth. Now we don't use that word a lot. That word means to rebuke or to scold or to scorn. There was a time when Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 went into the city and he upbraided them. He scolded them. And that's what this word means. So God's not going to upbraid you. Look at where it's used now, right after the word liberally. So you go to him at 8 o'clock and you have a situation, 8 o'clock in the morning, and you say, God, I need some wisdom. And God gives you wisdom. And then at 8:20, you have another situation. And you say, God, I need some wisdom. And then he gives you some wisdom. And then at 8:45, you have another situation. And if you work in a lot of work environments in our country, this could very well be your scenario tomorrow. Amen. And at 8:45, you have another situation, and you go to God and you ask for wisdom, and he starts to scorn you, and he starts to say, how many times are you going to ask for wisdom today? That's not God. You see what James is saying? God giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth again. And he giveth liberally. And he doesn't upbraid you. He's not going to make you feel uncomfortable for coming the 10th or 12th or 15th time. He's not going to scold you. Because it's something he wants to give. Because God knows that the only way that we're going to be able to accomplish what he has equipped us in verse 2, 3, and 4 is to have his wisdom. All right? Now, let's bring this to a close. We've seen the shortage of wisdom. And now we see the source of wisdom. It's God. Okay, it's God. It's not in a book now. It's not in a book. Well, it is, but it's this book. And you can't separate the living and the written word. It's God. All right? The source. Now, here's the secret. Don't miss it. You say, well, I'm just going to ask God for wisdom all the time and I'll get it. Nope. Wait a minute. There is one prerequisite. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. Well, I look at the latter part of verse 5 and it says, and it shall be given. So here's the principle. If you'll underline in verse number 5, ask, and then underline the word given, that's the principle of asking and receiving. Okay, that is a biblical principle, asking and receiving. Jesus said it, Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. Now, he said in verse number 6, but let him ask in faith. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to circle that two-letter word, that preposition, in. It didn't say with. See, a lot of people view faith, and I did this for many years. I used to view faith as kind of an additive. You know, it's kind of something you put in the mix. No, faith is it. It's not an additive. You see what he just did there? You ask in faith, not with faith. In faith. Listen, if you're going to get anything from God, it's going to have to be in the spirit of faith. You understand that? That's the only way. Right? How'd the old country preacher say it? How was it? Praying, believing, you'll be receiving. Right? Praying and doubting, you'll go without it. Right? Yeah. That's it. So look at it now. Verse number 6. Don't let him that asks, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That's doubting, right? For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, I don't know how you can get any more clear than what James made it for us right there. There's nothing that offends God more in the life of a believer than the sin of unbelief. So, what causes us to doubt, preacher? Well, there's a number of things, but there's one thing that James really hones in on, and this is my final thought tonight. I want to help you, so I want you to listen. All of us. There's not a person here tonight that could stand up and say, preacher, I've never doubted God. There's nobody that could do that tonight. We've all doubted God. Now, we shouldn't. Listen, He's been far too good to us, and He's done far more for us than we deserve, and we should never doubt Him. And sometimes when God does something, we think, and maybe we even see it, we think it in our heart, maybe we even say it, I'll never doubt you again. But you know, in time, we do, don't we? Don't we, brethren? Yeah. What can help us with this? Notice what he said here. Doubt and the double mind go together. Now, what is a double-minded man? Look at what he said in verse number 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So James, as he does all through his book, and I don't have time to go into this because I do want to draw this to a close. We'll pick up here next week, but I do want to give you this principle that you can think on and meditate on for the week. All right? James, he's given us an illustration. He's drawing an illustration from nature. And he talks about the sea, the waves being tossed, the wind driving and moving those waves from here to yonder, affecting them. And he said, doubt can do your faith that way. Move it all over the place. And he said, the double mind is what causes doubt. Now we've got to find out what a double mind is, and that'll help us solve a lot of the reasons. Why do I doubt God? Hold your place here, and I'll give you this, and this will be our final scripture, and I'll close. And you just go home and think about this. What causes you to be double-minded? Look, if you would, in James chapter 4 and verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. All right? Now, there's very little resisting going on today. Very little. You say, well, the devil's all over me. Resist him. You want him to go away? Resist him. How you do that? Read Matthew chapter 4. Jesus quoted scripture to him and he fled from him. You want the devil to go away from you? Quote the word to him. He'll go away. That's the good news. The bad news is it's just for a season. He's coming back, right? He's notorious. He just keeps coming. He's relentless. Look at verse 8. Here's the double mind. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. Now here we go. Ye double-minded. Now here's our man. Here's our man. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. See, a double-minded man tries to latch hold of God and the world at the same time and think, I can do both. I can live one way in church on Sunday and another way on Monday through Saturday. No, you can't. Well, you can, but you'll never know what it is to have victory. You'll never know what it is. See, that's a double-minded man. A double-minded man says one thing with his heart and another thing with his mind, or he says one thing with his mouth and lives another with his life. And he said, you got to purify. You got to come clean with God. You're going to have to set aside some things now, and you're going to have to let your lips and your life line up. Bring your flesh in submission to the Spirit. And then you can live in faith. But until then, there's going to be doubt. You know why? Because we have a conscience. And an unclean conscience will not allow us to ask in faith. I want you to go home and think about that, and we'll pick up there next week. The thing I want you to do is I want you to realize that God wants to give you wisdom.